We talk about food. We talk about music with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
All right, welcome to Snacky Tunes. I am one half your host, Terry Diabolic, a finger on the pulse, Student I Forget is out in Portland, and that was just Warm Ghost, Recognition Rights, who will be playing live in the studio just a little bit. I'm looking at four keyboards. Is that right? Four keyboards?
Four keyboards.
The show today, we have a very special guest, all the way calling in from the West Coast, Spencer Moody, who is of the famed lead singer of Murder City Devils, and now he's on to his second, third, fourth, I don't know, fifth career as a coffee roaster for Stumptown. Spencer, welcome to Snacky Tunes.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Of course. So talk to us about how you got involved with roasting coffee and the whole coffee scene out in Portland and a little bit of the history of Stumptown.
So, actually, I'm roast in Seattle, and I just got a production job at Stumptown, and I had the good fortune of being in the same physical space as the coffee roaster, and I immediately was intrigued and fascinated by coffee and fascinated by the process, and knew that it was something that I wanted to pursue a little bit deeper. And so when the roaster's apprentice job opened up, I was all over it. I couldn't believe I got the job. It felt like a real honor.
Now, what's it like? I mean, have you always been a big coffee drinker?
No, not really. It wasn't until the last few years that I ever drank really, really good coffee. And that's what it took for it to even really be on my radar. And now it's like I went from not thinking at all about coffee to being somewhat of a snob in about 10 minutes.
So talk to us about the process. Where does Stumptown? Well, tell for the listeners who don't know what Stumptown is. What is Stumptown Coffee? How did they get their start? Who are the guys behind it?
Dwayne Sorensen started Stumptown in Portland 11 years ago, I think in 1999, wasn't happy with the coffee he was getting. He just started a little coffee shop and saved his bartending tips and bought a 5-kilo roaster and started roasting his own coffee and decided that to get what he really wanted, he needed to go to Source. And so he started making trips and building relationships. And it's really, really what Stumptown is about, is the relationship with the farmer and making sure we get the best coffee in the world in a way that we can be proud of. And then just respect that bean from the farm to the cup. Just got to follow the bean and make sure it gets treated properly.
And once it gets the beans and things like that, where do you take over? Like, do you sort the beans yourself? Like, what's your process?
So we receive green beans into the roastery, mm-hmm. and then what's the most fun and what we're most proud of is the single origin coffees. So we'll know we know who grew it. And then we just have to just work with the profile until it's perfect and, bring out all of the positive attributes we want. We want to bring them forward and, as you taste that coffee, we want you to remember that, it came from a fruit, mm-hmm. and, it should taste like it.
So when you're roasting it, you know, you guys do all the, talk to us about the different roasts. You do light roast, dark roast, things like that. What are the differences, you know, when you're getting out of these flavor profiles when you're doing a light to dark roast?
So generally we do a lighter roast than many roasters. Historically, the reason to take a roast deeper would be to conceal some of the flavor of the coffee. Our philosophy is that if you have good coffee, you don't have to conceal anything. You want to bring it out as much as possible. So you're basically just sort of gently guiding the coffee on the machine that I roast on. Generally, you're talking about 12 and a half to 14 and a half minutes of just a slow, steady rise in temperature. And you want to make sure that at no point it takes off too much and at no point it stalls out. And just listen to the coffee and let it tell you what it needs. So you do that mostly by smell and just watching it.
Listen to the coffee? Does it start making a certain noise when it starts getting to where you want to be roasted?
Yeah, I mean, I meant listen more metaphorically, but you do literally listen to it. It starts popping. There's a point in the roast where most of the expansion happens. The bean expands about 90% mm-hmm. during the roast. So it does crackle. Depending on the bean, it's a little bit different. But then also, we have a trier, which is like kind of a spoon where you can pull the coffee out at any point and look at a sample.
Right.
And so we're watching that, and we're smelling it, and we're looking at the color. Largely, smell is really the most important sense when you're roasting coffee.
And how long did it take for you to train your nose to get to that point?
That's a difficult question because it's never, I don't think, forever.
Forever?
I think.
You only get better and better?
There are distinct smells that most people could pick up pretty quickly. I think we all smell a little bit differently. But it's an ongoing, I mean, I don't know, it's... the learning to taste and learning to smell are a huge part of the job of being a coffee roaster, which was really exciting when I started because you're opening up a sense that you haven't, like, I'd never really thought about smell very much. And so it was really fascinating and you could start to, I could feel it really like, opening up, and then I started smelling things just generally that I hadn't noticed before. And but that will be, I don't think I can ever take it for granted. I have to continue to think about what I'm smelling and to build a sort of a catalog in my brain. And, I'm not sure if that
is,
I don't know if it. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Is it like wine? Like, I mean, what are the things that you start smelling once a bean goes from, you know, green to roasted?
It starts out smelling like starts out as it starts to heat, it gets more of a kind of a gluteny. It smells a little bit like I think of it as like a dandelion green. It's not very exciting. It's a nice smell, but it's pretty one-dimensional. And then it gets to kind of starts to smell a little bit more like a peanut, like a roasted peanut, and still very one-dimensional. And then it'll reach a point in the roast where it really opens up, and all of a sudden you get these floral bursts. It's really amazing how those bursts will just happen really quickly all at once. And that's what you're looking for, and that's where the excitement is, because you just smell incredible things. It's really cool. And then, so that's kind of coming through the middle of the roast, and then towards the end of the roast, you still have some of those nice floral notes and kind of fruity notes, but it's starting to sort of close up again, and really, that's when you really want it to mellow out and everything to come together and just sort of set and be a solid, good bean when you're done. So it's in the middle of the roast, things really, really open up, and then that's when you get an idea of what the coffee is going to be eventually when you put it when you grind it.
How long between the Stumptown from roasting to grinding and serving? Is it a quick turnaround, or, you know, how long does it sit?
So we won't even, hopefully 2 days. After a day, you know if you did a good job.
Yeah.
Hopefully people are drinking it in basically within like 2 to 10 days.
Awesome. And
for a pour over coffee.
And what's your favorite cup of coffee? What's your favorite bean and roast?
Right now, the Kenyans are really, really exceptional. Right now it's the Kenyans, but it'll change. We'll see, you know, in a couple months I'll have a different answer.
You have a different answer. And finally, you know, what's coming up for Stumptown? What's the new year looking like for you guys?
It seems super exciting. I think there's going to be, I think there's going to be really cool, growth and new relationships and solidifying old relationships. And, you know, I mean, it's great. I haven't, I know that there's going to be, you know, you're going to be able to get Stumptown more places than you could before. And, hopefully we'll have increased resources to work with farmers and just keep those relationships strong. And, it's a really exciting time to be at Stumptown.
Awesome. And what's perfect, Stumptown coffee roasting music?
There's a lot of kind of desert rock, I suppose, in the roaster. The OCs, actually. Mm. I guess that's a little less deserty, but I think at least in the Seattle roastery, I would say the OCs probably get played more than anything else. But yeah, I'd say the OCs.
Awesome. All right, Spencer. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Glad to have you on the show as always, and big fan of what you do musically and coffee-y.
Thank you.
If that's a word as well.
I love your theme song. It's awesome.
Thanks, man. It's just dudes talking to dudes about music and food. and awesome. And looking forward to hanging out again, drinking a cup of coffee, and kicking back.
Great.
All right. Thanks so much. All right. Well, that's Spencer Moody. Huge fan of his music, huge fan of his coffee, and we're gonna gear on up. We're gonna get the Warm Ghosts all set up. Warm Ghosts all set up for them to play live in studio. So as we do that, we're gonna do in honor of Murder City Devils, do a 3-song, like high school, middle school music set of Murder City Devils, Mo Secret Method, and Ride Coalition. Here we go on Snacky Tunes.
Whiskey! that guy.
Yeah.
Rye Coalition, Lipstick Game. I think everyone in the room knows who they are, but I think we're all saying that they really all had their moment in time. Right? Jersey. Yeah. Jersey Rock.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys saw them, right?
Yeah, I saw them in Atlanta in like 2000 at the Earl. So great. Great show.
So good. Yeah. What was the last album that, on top, I think it was like their last album that they put out?
Yeah. Sounds right.
Yeah, the Rye Coalition discography is not like common knowledge, I think, on anybody. So I'm in studio with
Green Day.
With Brooklyn's very own Warm Ghost. And why don't you take us down the room and you guys introduce yourselves, who you are, and what you play?
I'm Oliver Chapoy. I'm playing synths.
And I'm Daniel Bellary. I'm playing synths and drum machine.
I'm Paul Duncan. I play vocals and synth and other stuff.
And Daniel Lewis, I play synth as well.
So you guys are all from Brooklyn. Were you guys from Brooklyn, or are you residing in Brooklyn now?
None of us are from New York, actually. Yeah. We just live in Brooklyn.
We've been here for a while, though.
Did you guys start in another city and then move over here?
No, we all met here.
No, yeah, we're actually pretty young. This incarnation of the band is a few weeks old.
Oh, all right. So let's talk about the incarnation of the band from the beginning and take us up to speed where we are now.
Yeah, it started as me, Paul, and then Oliver got on board, and it kind of became a duo. And then we decided that we were making really loud music that sounded like more than two people, so we should probably start playing with more people. and then Daniel and Daniel are both, we're friends of friends, and now friends. And
we are friends.
They're awesome.
Yeah. We're good.
Are you all friends?
I think we're friends. Yeah.
I have their
numbers.
There's a good vibe in here. Yeah, you can text me.
I don't have Paul's number, but
I still haven't accepted their friend requests on Facebook.
That's the ultimate test we found in these days.
Yeah.
They haven't passed that test yet.
So you guys have only been this quartet for a couple weeks?
Since October.
Since October. Yeah. Right before Moog Fest. We played Moog Fest Halloween weekend.
Yeah.
So it was like a few weeks before that.
And so you have, it's a two EPs and an LP, right?
Well, it's one EP, the original one, which is just me, and then we re-released it under a different name, some of the tracks, with extra tracks. So really, in a way, it's an EP and an LP that just came out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's hear a song off the, are you going to play a song off the LP, EP?
This is old. This is off of the first EP, and it also got re-released on the second. It's called Resignation Rites.
Oh, what we opened the show with. What's the story behind this song?
How do you mean?
I mean, what inspired, what turned, what's the idea behind it?
It's kind of a song about having a moment of realization and not being able to verbalize it, but realizing that it was important, I guess. Yeah.
All right. Okay, well, here we go. Brooklyn's very own Warm Ghost, live on Sacutunes. Resignation Rites, here we go.
Bar comes. I sit and bathe in the night. Gotta make the most of the fucking rain in the sky. I thought the rain would never break. And I thought the rain would never break. And I thought the rain would never break. Thank you. be on.
Very atmospheric. Perfect for a winter day.
Thanks.
So, you are right. That is a lot more music. That is that what it sounded like when you had two of you? Or is it even louder and more full now?
It's louder and more full now.
Because I was going
to
say...
It's kind of hard to tell in this tiny little room.
Yeah. No, it's... I mean, it's really full sounding. It's great.
Thanks.
Thank you. talk to me about the writing process. Obviously, you know, if when it was just you, it was one way. But now, what's it like working with, you know, as a group?
Well, this is super new, this form of the band. So we really haven't started writing together yet. But we have a record that just came out, which is just Oliver and I. And we're already starting to write a new record, actually. So we're going to pretty much write that all four together, I think. I do most of, the skeleton of the songwriting, and then sort of let whoever I'm collaborating with take it from there, in a way.
Awesome. Now, as I understand it, it's not just music. You also have, it's also a visual experience when you guys play as well?
We've done a lot with, projections and stuff like that, and we kind of stopped for a little while, but I think we've been plotting some new ideas for visual elements when we play live.
What were some of the old visual elements, and how did that tie into the music?
There's a lot of footage that I gave to my friend Steve Grisset, who's a really awesome video artist. He does music videos as well, so I would give him footage and then let him kind of do his thing and manipulate it live, project it onto us and behind us. So it was, I think a lot of bands do that, really.
I think it's a matter of taking what we're doing and turning it into more of a performance as opposed to just having projections behind us that sort of are distracting from what actually is happening,
right, yeah.
You know, musically.
Make it more integral, I think, with what's happening, things being triggered off of what we're playing. And now, with our setup now, I think that'll be easier to do, actually.
Oh, so you're actually, it's not just a hit play in the video and let it go?
Yeah, no, I kind of want to do something where it's actually the visuals are being in a timeline manipulated by how we're playing and the performance, so... It'll be more interesting.
That's awesome. So, where do you guys see yourselves in the Brooklyn scene? Where do you guys, where are you guys playing?
I see us as nobody seems to understand what the fuck we're up to. I don't know. Yeah, I think there's elements of what we do that definitely kind of coincide with a lot of what's going on in quote-unquote a scene in Brooklyn right now. But I think there's elements, sometimes the way that those elements, different elements in the music get combined, it kind of puts us a little outside of scenes that are happening.
We don't really associate with certain genres that are being thrown around right now.
Yeah.
Which, you know, so then it ends up, we kind of feel, I don't know, it's a good thing that to not be pigeonholed like that, but it's also, because of that, we're also in an odd place because people tend to sort of gravitate towards those ideas.
Yeah, they do.
Those ideas.
Sort of clumps.
Yeah.
So we should take this opportunity to say, hey, stop listening to genres and Pitchfork. So it's weird. It's kind of hard to describe what you do in someone else's words in that way, which is basically what applying yourself to a scene or a genre of music is.
But we do have a lot of friends who are in bands in Brooklyn and all make great music, and we think that, you know, it's nice to have a sense of community here.
Yeah.
I think that that's awesome. Like that, that we, you know, if we're playing a show, we have so many bands that we can talk to about playing with us or, you know, whatever. So there's definitely
get feedback.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of like good vibes here, and I think there's a lot of people making great music in Brooklyn.
A lot of support with our friends for sure.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to Baron Heaven. They just finished their new record.
Oh, I love those guys.
Yeah, they're awesome.
New album's coming out.
Good buds. They just finished mastering it, I think. I think they're sitting on it waiting to decide if it's done. But yeah.
Right. How do you know when an album's done?
Great question.
You don't.
Great question.
Yeah. Why don't you just say stop?
Yeah, you just have to say that the label needs something. And it's time for me to stop torturing myself, wondering if something's done or not.
You just get it out the door and just, you know. Do you ever find that what you consider not done is considered done by others? And they're like, this sounds great.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. There was a really good quote. Well, it was actually just a friend. It's not a quote. It's a friend that said this to me the other day. That's like, I think being, it just comes with the territory of creating anything or being an artist, is that it's probably good to not feel satisfied because it propels you into, you know, to continue making things. You know? Otherwise, if you're satisfied, you can just, you know, get fat. And
I mean, I think
watch True Blood songs.
Yeah.
I think satisfaction doesn't really play into the creative process a lot of the times.
Yeah,
I think
it's usually like time limits.
Or
can be great.
Yeah,
actually
having those restraints. Yeah,
it's sometimes it's good when somebody from more of like a product commerce side is just like, it just needs to get done.
There'd
be a lot of artists with a lot of projects that are never done, and a lot of people trying to sell those products with nothing to sell.
Sometimes
it's gotta get done.
I mean, it's like with a painting, you only have, you know, this much canvas to work with, and so you like make the best out of that space, you know. I think that's a good way to look at it.
Alright, so let's hear another musical canvas. How about
that?
What song's coming up?
Once One, and this is off the new record.
Awesome. Okay, here we go. Warm Ghost live on Snacky Tune.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Anyone else in the headphones?
That seemed
alright
on mine.
They're like, they sound like a dandy flower.
Dandy flower.
The tender touch of a dandy flower.
So how are you guys wrapping out your year? What's on the decks for 2012, other than the impending apocalypse?
Well, we figured we probably just wouldn't do anything because of the apocalypse.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty good reason.
It's a pretty good reason to stay home, I guess.
To just fuck off.
Just sit around and be like, don't know, don't care.
Yeah, no, we're working on a new record. So
we got a show coming up on December 16th.
Yeah, we got that.
Cameo.
Yeah.
Awesome. Love Cameo.
Love Cameo.
They have done an amazing job on that
totally.
Space.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how long you guys have been going there, but like the last couple of years.
Awesome,
Do you remember when it was like half the size?
Yeah, we actually...
in the window.
We played there when it was the first incarnation.
Yeah.
And
so
do we. They were doing like the sound from the stage.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It was pretty bad, but they totally made up for all that.
No. So I mean, hats off to Jiffy because he definitely had
great.
The vision.
Oh yeah.
And everyone's like, you know, I mean,
props to Jiffy.
Let's be honest. How many times do people hear about like, no, I'm going to turn this room into something?
Yeah.
But no, I mean, the bookings are good, and I think more and more people want to play there. You know, the fact that you can actually get a drink with ease there now.
Totally.
And the downstairs room is awesome.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, we played there a few months ago with School of Seven Bells when it was just right before these two dudes joined.
Awesome.
And, it was
and can we say the best
awesome.
Hanging paper installation?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
It's pretty badass.
Yeah. It's pretty badass. I mean, that's a good place for you guys to do like a visual show.
Absolutely.
Three screens, projectors. It's nice.
Yeah.
New Year's plans? What are you guys doing? What's your opinion on New Year's in New York?
Amateur night.
Go on.
I usually try and find a bunch of friends in a remote location and just get plowed.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
Somebody's beach house. Beach house is on
can
in
we
the winter.
That?
Great.
Can we do that? This
yeah,
week?
Yeah.
That
of course,
great.
Let's find a house.
All right, let's do it. I'll be here for New Year's. I'll be there.
I'm always here for New Year's. Like I never. Like I'm always. I'm from Atlanta, and I'm always home for Christmas. But I always like have to make it back here for New Year's.
Yeah, that stretch at home between Christmas and New Year's is... I know it's 6 days in theory, but it's a lot longer.
It feels pretty long. I love my family, and I love hanging out with them, but 6 days... 6 days anywhere is a long time.
No, well, I mean... that
away goes, from home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you guys consider Brooklyn home now?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so funny when it switches from, like, where you grow up to, like, what home is. And home is, I guess, Brooklyn.
Yeah, I mean, I've been here for 9 years, I guess.
Wow.
So it feels, I mean, I've lived here a long time.
And
favorite, about 8 years. So same.
Favorite Brooklyn locals to eat and drink? What do you get? What's on your list these days?
If we say Roberta's, do we get free beer?
No, but you will get free pizza.
Roberta's is great.
It is good. Yeah.
Best pizza's another.
Yeah.
That's associated.
Man.
Stuff.
Yeah. I feel like Marlo and Sons is pretty staple.
Yeah.
The place is always awesome.
Mesa Coyoacan.
Yeah. That's what I was gonna say. Mesa.
Where?
Mesa Coyoacan. It's on Graham.
It's a Mexican place. They have the best enchiladas.
Oh yeah, like, relatively new, right?
It's been there for a few years. Yeah.
Don't know what I'm talking
it's
about.
It's like just like my family is all in Mexico, and it just reminds me of like just. Like Mexican home cooking, like it's really good.
I live across the street from Brooklyn Star, and
you know,
I love that place.
I just went there for brunch on Saturday.
Did you get the chicken and waffles?
No, I got the masa.
Oh.
The masa with the black beans and the eggs.
How was that?
Exactly like that. No, it was great. But
I
mean,
dropped a bomb after that.
That it was like it was. From the second I ordered it, I knew that I was on like an hour countdown to me getting back on the couch.
Right.
Yeah.
But they did a really nice job there.
It's great. They've got a great bar with good whiskeys and stuff as well, so it's like a totally cool place to hang.
I was trying to explain to somebody who was who didn't know what Lazy Catfish was and how bad it was that they gave away free beer on Tuesday nights.
Yeah.
And people were still like,
it was so bad.
I don't want to go. Like,
because I had to listen to that every week. It was terrible.
Do people go? I mean, like, I'm surprised
they stayed open for as long as they were. I mean, they had like a 5-6
actually,
year run.
I was talking to my friend about this the other day. The as kind of weird as that place was, they had these catfish poppers that were so good. They're terrible, but they were great.
Yeah, it was, I don't know. There's something about it that just, it sucked, and they didn't really do anything to the space for Brooklyn Star, and it's so much better.
Yeah.
Maybe just the vibe.
Yeah, vibe. They did add some more seating, I think, and, you know, gave it a better look.
I don't know. Lazy Catfish, one of the worst places. I mean,
yeah.
Sorry if the ex-owners of Lazy Catfish are fans of the show.
I'm sure they're avid listeners.
Actually, yeah. my landlord is an old school Brooklyn guy, and he told me that the Lazy Catfish Brooklyn Star location used to be a pretty big mob hangout, 60s and 70s.
Oh.
There you go. Just... FYI.
Nice. So it was a front.
So it was a front. Yeah.
Usually Lazy Catfish was a front.
You know what? I would believe it because that would make a lot more sense that it was a front than it being open 5 years ago.
Yeah, call it the Lazy Catfish.
Yeah.
So, hey, we'll give away free PBR. Salt water.
What are these kids like? A PBR? Yeah, we'll give away. Yeah. So, all right. Well, we're going to do one more song, but what's the what are the nuts and bolts? What are the website, the Twitter space?
It's just warmghost.com.
Warmghost.com?
Yeah, and that links you to everything, I feel like.
Our record's called Narrows, came out end of September.
Yeah.
It's out now.
Awesome. Yeah. And so you got the show coming up, Cameo, and then...
Cameo, December 16th.
Yeah. And then the New Year tour, something?
We don't have a tour planned, so I think we're going to take the time to actually just write and make a new record.
Equally as important.
It is.
Some would say even more so.
More fun.
It's more. You think so?
Well, we haven't toured yet. But I have toured before.
We've done some little micro tours, like
East Coast. Yeah. I think like a full-on proper tour would be super fun. But
you know, both elements of writing and touring have their equal high and low points. How about that?
Yeah.
How about that? Definitely. But the thing about touring is that you play the show, then it's over. The thing with an album, just like going for
festers.
Forever.
Festers.
Yeah, awesome. So, what are you going to take us out with?
Open the Wormhole in Your Heart. This is also off the first EP.
And awesome.
It's an awesome video for it.
Yeah. You guys got a bunch of great videos on your site YouTube's. As well.
Thanks.
All right. Well, thank you, Spencer Moody. Thank you to Worm Ghost. Never forget, I will be here next week for our final episode of the year. And looking forward to the Heritage Radio Holiday Party this Thursday. Here we go.